tonight you're in for a really, really great night. I want to ask you a quick question. Who here, and don't look around, you only answer for yourself. Who here is like financially on solid rock? Like your finances are solid. Well, tonight is a night for all of us. It is really going to be great. We did this several years ago with an age group that was your same age group. It's just you were younger then. It was like 3 or 4 years ago. And it was the most popular night that we had had all the way through because it is so much wisdom in it. We invited a gentleman here who has been, I can say this, he is the financial consultant for my family, which I don't have a lot to consult, but and many of our staff members. He has blessed so many people in our church with wisdom and counsel on how to steward finances in a way that honors God and sets people up for their destiny and gives them freedom, not only in their own personal life, but to be generous, which is what we all really want to be, right? God blesses us to be a blessing. Amen. And he's going to get into this much better than me, but I want to just say there are times when we think that natural things aren't spiritual things and we think that spiritual things aren't natural things. And that's not really the truth. That's something that sort of has gotten churched into us at times. But when you read Scripture, Scripture is there's nothing more spiritual than Scripture. And so much of Scripture is just very practical. It's natural. I remember one of my favorite when I was a young person, because I had lots of foolish friends. Anybody have foolish friends? Yeah. So I was reading Scripture when I was a young man, and I read the Scripture that says, don't help a fool out of his folly today, because you will have to do it again tomorrow. Right? That just means foolish people, like, you know, constantly make mistakes, and if you bail people out, essentially. And I thought to myself, how is that, like, the wisdom of God? Is that spiritual? And as I've come to grow in life, I've realized that is some of the best wisdom I've ever had, right? Wisdom may sound practical, but trust me, if it's from God, it is eternal. All right, turn to somebody and say, you're about to learn something tonight. All right, now, please welcome our friend Sasha Milligan.
Good evening. I'm excited tonight because this is one of my favorite topics. Surprise, surprise. But I'm gonna share with you in a different manner than I have in the past. Is that okay? Okay. And I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to share some personal stories with you. And I'm going to show you, if you're able to see the screen, where I came from and how I got to where I am today. And I'm excited that my older two kids are actually here tonight, and they get a chance to listen to how we applied kingdom principles to live where we live today. So with that, I'm going to give you a brief overview and intro. My name is Sasha Milligan. I was born into a military family. My biological dad and mom never got married. My mom started raising me up as a single parent. When I was 5 years old, my stepdad came on the scene. And when he was on the scene, it was great. We lived in Germany at the time. We came stateside, moved to Atlanta, and we lived in Atlanta for 5 years. At the end of 5 years, that marriage was practically just about dead, and they got separated. So I was raised by a single parent. A single parent in Germany, tax rates in Germany are 51%. So don't complain about taxes here. We didn't come from a lot. We didn't have a lot of money. My entire life, we lived in apartments. My mother still lives in an apartment today because the cost of living in Germany is stupid high, okay? But she's been blessed in the later years that she actually purchased a home here in Syracuse as well. So the first home that I ever was really introduced to that was my home was the home that I bought. My grandparents had a home, but it was never mine, really. You know, it was their home. And I give you some of this background and commentary. I was a decent student. I took AP courses and different things, but I had no hope of going to college. And I graduated from a small high school that had 36 seniors, 30 of which went into the military. And that's where I was headed. I was signed up for the Air Force, and they told me that they didn't have a job for me, so I had to wait 6 months before that slot could come available. And I had saved up roughly about $3,000 working as a commissary or as a Wegmans grocery person that bagged groceries and got tips. And I took that $3,000, which I had set in my mind to go buy a car. I took that and decided to go to the University of Memphis in Memphis, Tennessee. That's where my stepdad was from. That's where I would get in-state tuition. I went to the University of Memphis, back then called Memphis State. And that was enough to pay for tuition for one semester. And that first semester while I was there, I just got curious about the Lord. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. So for those of you that grew up in a Christian home, you got so much more than I had. I lived in a worldly environment, in a country that doesn't have drinking laws, in another country next door to us that didn't have marijuana legal laws, and prostitution is legal. It's worldly. That's where I came from. That's how I grew up. And when I got to college, God started poking me. So if we can go to the first slide, we're going to talk about this time period because I think it reflects where you all are. What this says here, in preparing for this, God blessed me because I had, I've always kept documents, and what you're seeing up there are these. You may not even know what this stuff is. These are check registers. They used to give them at banks if people write checks. And this is a check register. The original is right here. Dated July 5th, 1992. I was single. I was 20 years old. Broke. Real broke. But I got a hold of this verse, and some of you may have heard of this verse. It's in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. That word was foreign to me. But I can tell you on July 5th, 1992, right here, I was attending a church called Bethel Temple in Memphis, Tennessee. And that is the first tithe that I ever made in my life. Since that time, the Bible says where your heart is, your treasure is also. Since that time, every check register that you look at in my life, you will find the ministry that I attended. You will find every campaign that was going on, every building fund, everything, invest. So let's go on to the next one. I'm going to share this with you because this was 1995. I'm 23 years old. And what you see here are college debts. Credit card, Columbia House. We used to order CDs. I was being supported by my mom by $300. She was really sending me $150, so that's 2 months worth of actually, that's my birthday money. That's for my mom and my grandmother. I tithe off of my birthday money. This word is real. Then what you see here is I was making a payment on a car that I was trying to buy. My dad was trying to help me out. You see here that I had a little tax refund because while in college I was working. I worked about 20 hours a week at the law school in the admissions office filing. And then I would make some income. I would file my taxes. I got a $412 return. And then what you'll see here is that I tithed on my tax return. Now, I'm not telling you to do what I did. I'm just telling you what worked for me. And what worked for me is God's word worked for me. So what else will you see here? And this is the reason I brought this up. You don't see, if you can see these numbers, you don't see big numbers. I was broke. If you look at my check register, you're going to find times where you'll see this bounce check fee that needs to get paid. That's on the next one, okay? You will see my check register go negative because I didn't have money. Let's go to the next one. This is 1998. I had graduated. I was at Syracuse University. I'm 26 years old. I'm working, and I earn about $13,000 a year. And single, 26. And what you see here, the purpose of this one is, right here, there was a time that this ministry used to be called Abundant Life Christian Fellowship. And there was a time when we had a campaign called Plant the Seeds, and there was another one called Possess the Land, and then there was another one, Invest to Increase. And what you will see is plant your seed. There was my contribution. That doesn't mean that I wasn't also tithing, because my tithe was down here. There you see my mom was still supporting me with $150 a month, and I'm 26 years old because I'm still broke. Why? Because I worked at Syracuse University for 2 years. I resigned from my job. I decided to go to grad school on faith. I had an acceptance letter, did not have a scholarship, did not have a graduate assistantship. I just had a promise. And I knew in my heart that God spoke to me, and he told me to go to that program at SU, and I did. I resigned my job when I got the acceptance letter, and 2 weeks later, sometimes it's not in our timing, sometimes it's in God's timing, 2 weeks later, they showed up with a graduate assistantship that paid for my 100% of my graduate courses, not for one degree, but two master's degrees. I only applied to one school. Why did I only apply to one school? Because I only wanted to go to one school. Those of you, how many people know about SU? Okay, you all know the Maxwell School? That's the school I wanted to go to. That's the school I graduated from. If I want to go to grad school, if I want to pursue something, if I'm going to believe God for his best in my life, I want the best of what's available on this earth. And that school is ranked number one, has been since 1970-something. That's where I wanted to be. What you'll see here in February of 1998 is that there's more tithes, there's more tax, paying tithes on tax returns and all this kind of stuff. On this one, I think, or the other one before, you would have seen the money go negative. You'll see here that I wrote something interesting because I'm in grad school. I'm trying to work. I got a GA ship, but it's not paying my bills. So I'm working still. And I graduated from Maxwell in 1997, and the Lord, you know, all of my peers were leaving Syracuse. Those of you that know anything about the government, the Office of Management and Budget, the Congressional Budget Office, different state houses, Maxwell graduates occupy those companies, and they also work in the consulting world. I can't tell you how many of my peers were getting big salaries, $80,000, $100,000 starting out once they had their graduate degree. And the Lord told me, stay in Syracuse. And I was like, why? I had a peer in my class that went down to D.C., interviewed for a job, bombed the job interview, is walking through the airport, has a Maxwell logo T-shirt on. Somebody accosts him in the airport, said, where'd you get that shirt? He goes, well, I'm a degree candidate at the Maxwell School at Syracuse University. He goes, what are you doing in D.C.? He goes, I'm out here interviewing. The man gave him a card. He said, call me. The T-shirt got him jobs. I'm stuck in Syracuse. The government in Syracuse has a hiring freeze. That's the most natural place to go. And I'm out there interviewing. I'm like, Lord, I can't find a job. I don't feel a release to leave. I'm staying here in Syracuse in this desolate wilderness. No pun intended. That was my mindset at 26. And the Lord said, go back to school. Your graduate assistantship is renewable. So I went back to school. Go to the next one. So I go back to the next program, and you'll see here the post-standard. And this is a humbling experience. And I'm just sharing my testimony with you because maybe you'll find yourself, or maybe you'll be able to remember this when you may go through some things. Because once you have a sense of accomplishment in your life, it's easy to get a big head. Real easy. I have the number one degree in my field, period. Drop the mic. You see me. I am not of the majority. How many minorities have the number one degree in their field? Not many. I had a huge head. And the Lord had to break that down. And part of that strategy was staying in Syracuse. So I'm staying in Syracuse. I can't find a job. And it got bad because my roommate was getting married. Now I was responsible for 100% of the rent. I'm still tithing. I'm still giving offerings. I'm still participating in all the campaigns. And I don't know how it's going to happen because, I mean, if you look here, some of these, it got down to like $5.19, okay? It was bad, okay? And I'm looking for work. I can't find work. And then the Lord reminded me of an experience that I had when I was in college as an undergrad. And I used to work third shift at the front desk where people would check into the building, into the dormitory. And I used to see this man every day when I worked third shift. And he would come in and he'd open up this little machine and he'd put newspapers in it and then he'd close it and he'd leave. And I was like, newspapers. That's why the post standard is up there. This is humbling. I've got the number one degree in my field, in my pocket. And I went to the post standard and I asked, can I become a newspaper delivery boy? They said, sure. I delivered newspapers on Tip Hill, that was my paper route, for 9 months. And that was my only source of income. During the day, I would study. And then with my little job from the Post Standard, and that's why this is up here, this says Post Standard, $274.84. And if you add that up a couple times, you can make rent, which was $409 a month. So 2 weeks worth of labor, getting up every day at 3 o'clock in the morning, delivering newspapers before 5:30, over 100 houses, and humbling yourself to the point where you want that $25 bonus. And you only get your bonus if you put the newspaper where the owner of the home wants it. And nobody's simple. One person wants it on the second step. Another person wants it in between the screen door and the house door. Another person wants it on the back porch. And woe unto you if you miss it once, because one complaint will lose you $25. And $25 was almost 10% of my income. That's humbling. But God is faithful. God is faithful. All the while, what did I do? I continued to tithe. I continued to come here. I continued to receive the word. I continued to grow. I didn't make excuses. And this is where I want you guys to understand. And then there were some other things that happened for me. God gave me a vision when I was in school. And one of the things he told me was, you're going to own property one day. And I was like, okay, I just had that. I'm going to own property one day. And you're going to own property, and you're going to own property, and you're going to rent to people, and you're going to rent below market rents, but you're going to be profitable. And you're going to create a system and an opportunity for those people who are renting from you to become self-sufficient and buy their own homes. That was given to me when I was 25 years old. Today, I stand here at 46. So let's go to the next slide. Nope. We'll come back to that one. That's me today. God's promise at 26 to a broke kid delivering newspapers on Tip Hill, being chased by dogs in the morning, getting rained on, watching all the 25, 26-year-olds at the house parties that didn't end Saturday night while I'm out there delivering Sunday papers, had a promise. These are my properties today. And I don't say this boastful. I just say this to encourage you. If God is speaking something to you, you need to write it down. And it may not come when you want it. It may not come when you feel that you need it. But write it down and don't let go. This was the first house that I bought. Beautiful home in the university area. That's another house that I bought that's across the street from where I used to live in the university area. These are two other houses and the vacant lot that we were able to purchase right on the buffer of the university area. And then this thing came up, and that was just a crazy God deal. And I can tell you this, the end of this testimony is simply this. Everything that God promised me has been manifest. I do rent property below market rent. I do create opportunities, and I have seen with my own eyes my tenants come through this process and purchase their own homes. One of them is actually, the step grandfather to somebody who attends this ministry, which blows my mind. And there's more to come. There's more to come here, and there's more people that are going to come through. So what I want, in the balance of my time, what I'd like to do is tell you how this came to be. Is that fair? Okay. Mindsets. You know, Pastor John talked about it on Sunday, if you all were here, and he talked about that there's a simple principle in the word that says, I shall not want. I shall not want. I have no fear of want. I have no concern of want because I know whose I am and I know who he is. And you need to know that for yourself. Is it helping you get through college? Is it helping you pay your rent? Is it helping you make your pledge? Is it helping you honor your word? Is it helping you, whatever it is, you need to know whose you are and who he is. You shall never want. And if that mindset is in you, you are free to exercise and activate the principles within the word. It starts with tithing. And one of the things that I mentioned here is that Pastor John talked about success. He said, what's success? He says, the definition for success means you worked for something, stewarded over it, sold, and then realized the result. There's effort that you have to put in. Prospering. A lot of people talk about prospering, and a lot of people want to prosper. Hey, anytime you want to pray for me, okay? I'm not done prospering. We just starting this thing. But one of the things I've realized about prospering, as I am in the financial services business, and I'll just real quick, I am a financial advisor. I've been doing this for 18 years. I manage a very decent-sized portfolio of client assets, national endowments, retirement plans, and individual households. That's what I do professionally. But one of the things in doing that, one of the things that I've learned is that prospering is a choice. It's a choice. You all have choices to make. You have a choice. You have the ability to choose to see life filled with opportunity, or you have the ability to focus and choose on the struggle. It drives me crazy when I talk about, and I listen to people talk about, the struggle is real for you. It's not real for, the promise is real for me. You can have the struggle, okay? It's a choice. It's a choice to tithe and to give offerings or not. It's a choice to invest in a retirement account, a 401k or a 403b or a Roth or not. It's a choice to speak to your future and speak it into existence or to talk about your present. Those are choices. There's a choice to act or react. There's a choice to take risks or not. Here's a big one. There's a choice to believe God's word and his promises or not. There's a choice to remain close to the ministry or drift away. I will tell you that I have been at Abundant Life since 1994. My entire adult life has been here. There is no surprise in me that I have been able to move into the areas that I've been able to move. And like the rappers say, watch me because you're about to see something coming. But the reason that I am where I am is because I've stayed close. Unfortunately, hopefully this will not happen for this group, but unfortunately, if you know people here, some of you may not make it because you're going to choose to drift. There was a college group, a young group. I was in your seats 24 years ago. And we had a strong crew. We used to ride share to church. We'd be the loudest little section during praise and worship. We'd be at all the picnics and that. And you know what? There's not many of them left. They've all drifted away. That's a choice. Now, some of those choices are a result of being hurt. Some of those choices are a result of having disagreements. But how do you disagree with God's word? How do you let yourself drift? The word says that the same anointing that flows on the head passes over the whole body and will eventually hit the feet. I may be at the bottom of the toes. I don't know where I am on this body thing, but if the anointing is flowing on the head, it's going to get to me eventually. Okay? Why? Because I'm close. As this ministry has grown, I have grown. As this ministry has grown, the people who have been connected to this ministry have grown. It's not by accident. It's by design, God's design. So today I want you to think about your choices. Tithing, giving, remaining close to the ministry, confessing with your mouth what you want to speak into existence, making plans. Let's go to the next one real quick. We talk a lot about seasons and accountability and knowing the state of your flocks. Let me tell you what this is. This is something that I came up with that blesses me. Here you find me. This is 2018. This is 2019. I'm going to be 47 in a couple weeks. Here's my oldest daughter. That's my son. That's my youngest daughter. This is an Excel spreadsheet. Nobody should be surprised by the seasons of your life. Everybody knows your birthday is coming up again, right? Let me see. Let me show your hands. Everybody knows when their birthday is. Okay. How many people know when Christmas is going to come up next time? It's not going to be a surprise, right? How about the 4th of July? Anybody know that you want to eat some barbecue? You want to go outside and grill? You know what's going to happen. There are no unknown seasons in your life. So what I basically did was I just basically took my age in the corresponding year, and I went out to age 67. Then my daughter, 13 until the age of 34. 11, 9, on down. Why? Because when I'm 50, she's 17, he's 15, he's 13. You see these little yellow things right here? Those are college years for me. Okay? So when I turn 51 until I'm 59, okay, I will have somebody in college. Yes, my kids are going to college. Okay? And we're not paying for it, by the way. Okay? The Lord and I were going to talk about that. Well, if you understand that numerically, you can figure out every other season in your life. This is how many years I've been in the industry. I just bought a new house, so I reset the numbers. This is my mortgage numbers. If you have a roof on your home, how old is the roof? It's 15. Start with 15. The next year is 16. You know when that roof is around 27, 28, you're going to need to repair that thing. How old is your furnace? How old is your paint job on your house? Are you making contributions to your 401k, your Roth? You know, what's going on with the 529 accounts? Are you investing for your children's education? Yes or no? It's all sequential. There are no surprises. It shocks me when somebody comes to my office talking about, Sasha, listen, I'm 58 years old. I want to retire in the next 4 years, and I have about $100,000 invested. Where have you been? Seriously? I can't help you. I will do the best I can, but I can't help you because you've wasted the seasons of your life. Let's go to the next slide. Knowing the state of your flocks. This is what I do today. I'm in the business. I do this, we sometimes say this as a negative, religiously. I do this religiously. Bank accounts, savings accounts, Roth IRA, 401k, you should say HSA, stock purchase plans, children's 529s, credit cards, mortgages. I go and I write at the end of each month the balance. I need to know where my flock is every month. This is not casual. This is intentional living. You want to see progress in your life? Start documenting it. You got to start documenting it. Because if you're not, you can sit back sometimes and say, wait a minute, why in the world if I didn't have any credit card payments here, my checking account actually has less money than it did the month before. I wasn't paying. What am I doing with my money? What am I doing? Intentional living, okay? So for the rest of the time, what I'm going to do is we got some handouts and some questionnaires because I know you guys are going to break out into small groups. But I'm going to end with a couple of different verses. And these are questions that I actually wrote out to challenge you to get you to think. But I want to end with a couple of different verses. Because when you steward and you are faithful, he's going to be faithful. And there are promises that I'm holding on to right now that haven't manifested yet. But I'm about to read you one, and it's coming. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, hallelujah. Houses full of good things, which you did not fill, hallelujah. Hone out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That next level is stuff I didn't even work for. And I'm coming to collect because I'm not going to forget where it came from. And when you receive those things, realize where they came from. And if he tells you or encourages you to bless others and pass them on because the source is not running dry. He can continuously bring those things to you. The last scripture that I'm going to read is in Deuteronomy, the Lord will open up to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations. You shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. There is a better life than what you're living today. It is promised to every one of you. I'm not different than any of you. Actually, I was probably worse off than most of you. And I'm going to tell you, I haven't done everything right. But the one thing that I have done, and that's going to, you're going to find out on these questionnaires, is I focused on three things. I focused on my time. I focused on my money. And I focused on my words. And I did all that while staying close. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Excellent. Well, you are ready for your small group. Small group should be.